Hi, hello again. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. I welcome you back, brothers and sisters, and thank you for joining in. Thank you for being faithful to our Lord and faithful to His Word and faithful to your calling. Thank you for being faithful to your calling. The Lord's called you out of darkness into light, and we owe Him. He is a wonderful, living, alive, well-being, eternal, everlasting God that knows what real love is and shows us real love. If you've ever been loved by the Lord, and you have, if you're listening to this, if you ever have tasted that God is good and tasted the goodness of God, it's something that you never want to, that you never forget nor want to forget. God is good. But God is God, isn't He? And He is due His respect, and He will be sanctified. And that's what we're talking about on our study, is sanctification. We're going back into it today with another lesson. This will be our seventh lesson in this study, the fourth letter S in our study of the ABCs of Christian growth. The Bible says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, entirely." W-H-O-L-L-Y. Not holy as in holiness, but holy as in entirely. Every bit of you. "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." And that is God's will for us, brothers and sisters. And we've seen that as we've been through this study. We've talked about the sanctification of the Lord, and we are presently talking about the sanctification of man. Two different sorts of sanctification, even though they're in the same church, but they're different pews. One of them is having entirely to do with the Lord, and one of them is the sanctification of man, in which God does not take part in because He's not like man. He's not like man. Jesus Christ was a man, but He was not like man. He was in the likeness of man, but He was not like man in a lot of ways. He's God in the flesh. God in the flesh. And He was sinless. Sinless. That's not man. Man is sinful. Sinful. Okay, so we're going to get back into that and study some more of that. The last study, we began our study on the sanctification of man. I think it might have been the second lesson into our study of the sanctification of man. But we talked about why sanctification or godliness is important. Is important because it's profitable. Because it is Bible doctrine and can be perverted. Remember that? Remember that? Why sanctification or godliness? And you say, well, where's godliness and holiness and all that stuff come from? Remember, we talked about that. When you're talking about sanctification in the Scripture, sanctification always comes up, or not always, but it comes up in these forms in the Scriptures when it's talking about that subject or that issue or that doctrine or that truth. Godliness, holiness, separation, sanctification. You see? And they're all family in the Scriptures. When you talk about godliness, you're also talking about sanctification. Our study is about sanctification, so it's going to naturally involve godliness, and it's going to involve holiness, and it's going to involve separation and setting apart and these things, and that's why we're going over it. Because we're studying the entire realm or the doctrine of sanctification and what the Bible says about it. Not one specific thing, but the whole outlook of sanctification and what it means in the Scriptures and how it's used and how God put it in there for us. Sanctification, we talked about godliness and its importance. Why is it important? Well, it's important Because it's profitable. It's important because it's Bible doctrine and can be perverted. And it is perverted, and you know it is, and a lot of places and a lot of ways and a lot of words and a lot of preaching and a lot of teaching in this world today, the Bible doctrine of sanctification is perverted. It's perverted. And because it must be pursued. That's why it's important. Because it's something that you're not going to do naturally, being in the flesh still. It's something, I mean, you are already sanctified as far as your soul and your spirit are concerned, but your body's not sanctified. It is being sanctified. It's in the process of sanctification. And that's what brings the hard part of sanctification is practical sanctification where we have to be involved in the matter. I would rather just be over with myself, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? But then how are we going to learn? How are we going to learn? God has very beautiful and man wouldn't teach like God teaches. God teaches and his lessons stick. His lessons stick, don't they? Because it must be pursued. That's why it's important. And because it is the believer's duty. It is the believer's duty to be godly and to sanctify himself and to sanctify herself. That's why it's important. Now today we're going to get into another portion, which is holiness. And we're going to talk about sanctification as far as holiness of Christians. Holiness of Christians. We're going to break it down into probably four different areas. About four different areas, and just talk about it for a little bit and see what the Bible has to say about this matter of holiness when it comes to Christians. The first thing that we're going to talk about is in their calling. In the calling. You've been called out. You've been called out, and that's part of what sanctification means, being called out. Called out from what? Called out from a wicked world. Called out from a wicked mind. Called out from darkness unto light. You've been awakened. You've been called out from being dead in sins, trespasses and sins, and in the world without God. You've been called out. You've been born again. And we're going to talk about that, sanctification or holiness of Christians, first of all, in their calling. Well, what about it? Well, a Christian has been, as far as holiness, has been elected unto holiness. God did not call you out from being in darkness and call you out from iniquity and call you out from wickedness and uncleanness to just any old place. He called you out and elected you to holiness. To holiness. God is holy. God wants you to be like him. And he's in the process of making you like him. And holiness is the end of that. Sanctification of Christians is holiness. The holiness of Christians, it's in their calling. It's not something that's just on the back burner. It's something that God has put in order, and it's in the process of happening. For instance, Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, the Bible says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate." You, from the time you accepted Jesus Christ and believed on him, and you were born again, and your spirit was quickened, from that point on, God predestinated you to be conformed to the image of his Son, Jesus Christ, who is what? Holy. Holy. You've been called, it's in your calling. You've been elected to holiness. Now, I'm not talking about some kind of out there in the open and that nobody knows nothing about. I'm talking about genuine holiness. like unto the Lord, being called out to be conformed to the image of his Son. Now that's saying something. Jesus Christ is holy. He is God. He is the Son of God. He is holy. He's from everlasting to everlasting. He was in the beginning as the Word with God before he was born and incarnated into the flesh and became Jesus Christ and was named Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. All right? But for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. It's in your calling. Sanctification or holiness of Christians is in their calling. They're elected to holiness. All right, what else? Well, you're called to holiness. You're not only elected to holiness, but you are called to holiness. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 7 says, "For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness." But unto holiness. I mean, there it is. God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. But unto holiness. Talking about sanctification and the holiness of Christians. What else? Well, it's in your calling because you're elected to holiness. You're called unto holiness. And you are created in holiness. Not talking about your physical birth and being birthed of your mother, talking about your spiritual birth and the creation that God has made there. You're a new creature. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 through 24 says that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Train your mind in holiness and create. And you're a new creature. You have a new way of thinking. God the Holy Ghost is indwelling you, and you have a new mind that's being fashioned like unto the. You have a new mind that is being fashioned like unto Christ's mind. We're going to have the mind of Christ, and we're in the process of turning our minds over into the mind of Christ and thinking like the Lord. That you put off concerning the former, the old ways, the way you used to be, conversation, the old man, which is corrupt. Now, I want to stop right there and pause just a minute. He wouldn't be talking about putting off the old man if the old man wasn't still present and hanging around. Because he is, and he's in that flesh that you're carrying around, that you are wrapped around, that's wrapped around you. That you put off concerning that former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. True holiness. You see, you've not been called to a vain calling. Your calling is meaningful, not meaningless. God didn't call you to vanity, to just sit there and do nothing or nothing take place. It's in your calling. You're elected unto holiness. You're called to holiness. And you are created in holiness. And God the Holy Ghost is indwelling you, and you're getting a new mind. You're being trained to think differently. God the Holy Ghost is showing you the things, like, right, for instance, right now, in the Word of God. We're learning God's Word, and we're learning the mind of Christ. We're learning the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You know who that is? That's Jesus Christ before his incarnation. Jesus was the Word of God before he was incarnated and came down here and took on flesh, was conceived in Mary and took on flesh, and God indwelled a body. And they named him Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, God the Son. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Do you hear what that said? It says that your body is the temple of Almighty God that dwells in you. And if you defile that temple and misbehave in that temple or treat that temple in such a manner that is not godlike or not God-pleasing or not God-honoring, God will destroy your temple. Maybe he'll go ahead and let you get cancer, or maybe he'll let you get this. And I'm not saying that everybody's got cancer is being disciplined by the Lord or God's destroying their temple. It's not what I'm saying. I'm saying it's possible. It says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, and we know what defiling the temple is. It says the temple is the body that you're wearing. You say, yeah, but it's wicked, Brother Thurman. Yes, it's wicked, but still, God dwells in it. It's wicked for the time being. God has plans for that temple. He's going to change it, but nevertheless, it's the temple of God right now. And him shall, it says, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy. Now, you're going to argue with God? It might not, it's still lustful, it's still wicked. I don't understand how God works all that out, but he does. He said it, and we can believe it and understand it. Because, first of all, it's true. You're wearing a body that's full of lust, and it's evil, but yet, it is the temple of God, and God has elected it, and he's going to change it, and going to perfect it, and fashion it like unto his glorious body, and it's going to become immortal, and perfect, and everlasting, and live forever. That's God's plan for it. But right this very second, seems like two things are going on in that body, aren't they? If any man defile the temple of God, that's what God calls your body. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Which temple ye are. So, what are we talking about? We're talking about sanctification of Christians. Born-again, Bible-believing Christians. Sanctification, the holiness of Christians. Well, it's in their calling. It's in their calling. It's in your calling. You're elected to holiness. You're called to holiness. You are created in holiness. And you're possessed by holiness. That's what we just got through reading. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17. You're possessed by holiness. Know ye not? I mean, God the Holy Ghost is indwelling you. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. So we see there, having to do with sanctification and the holiness of Christians, it's in your calling. What else? Well, it's in your life. Holiness is in your life. There's a lot of Christians that want to misbehave, and they don't want holiness in their life. Now, I know that sounds kind of backwards and foolish and everything else, but it's true. There's Christians out there could care less about being holy. They don't know anything about being holy. They've not learned anything The preachers today and the teachers today aren't teaching anything concerning holiness and the will of God and what Bible doctrine is and how they are supposed to keep that body and what we're supposed to do and the differences of being saved and what's sanctified and what's not sanctified. People don't know these things. All they know is that their body still lusts and still wants to drink, still wants to shoot dope, still wants to have sex and fornicate and all these sorts of things, and they got no idea that it's the temple of God. All they know, I got saved, and the preacher said that God's in me now. That's all they know. And that's all they know. Holiness is in your life. Sanctification and holiness of Christians, it's in your life. Well, what do you mean, brother? Well, Romans chapter 6, let's read it. Romans chapter 6, verse 13 through 19. Neither yield ye your members, in case you didn't know what he's talking about when he's talking about temple, there's your temple. Your members, the members of your body, that holds these members, that is attached, these members are attached to. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. You see the responsibility in that? Yield yourselves. He says, neither yield your members. Who's in control of that? You are. Neither yield ye your members, your responsibility, your will is in this. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield, get this, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether to sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. You see that? It's in your life. Holiness is in your life. It lives in you. It's living in you, learning to live in you, and you're practicing it. It said we have to yield the holiness is in us, but we have to yield to it. Because you have a wicked body that don't want to yield to it. Remember the old cartoons where, this is back in the 60s and 70s, but there were cartoons where a guy would be standing there and it would show him being tempted to do something. And he'd look this way to the left and look this way to the right and he'd be thinking about that thing. And then all of a sudden, a little red devil would pop up on his left shoulder. And he'd be prodding him and whispering in his ear, and he'd be looking over that to the left like that, and then all of a sudden, an angel would pop over on his right shoulder, and he'd whisper in this ear and talk to him like that. That's it, man. They knew more about Christianity and a lot of Christians nowadays and the battle that goes on. That is as real as it gets right there. That is, you and the holiness that dwells in you, God the Holy Ghost dwells in you, and you're reading the Word of God, and that's filling your mind, and you're getting all of this holiness, filling you with holiness, and then you have that wicked body, and you have the world, and you have the enemy. There's a battle going on. And your will is that fellow that was sitting there looking left and looking right with both of them on both shoulders, and he had to make the decision. And that's the same thing you say. It goes on today. Listen to what the Bible says. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. He wouldn't tell us not to do it if it wasn't possible for it to happen. But yield yourselves unto God. Not the left shoulder, but the right shoulder. Not the devil, but the good. Godliness. Holiness. As those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. It's not going to rule you if you don't let it. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether to sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. It's in Christians' lives. What are we talking about? Sanctification, the holiness of Christians. It's in their calling. And it's in their lives. What else? Well, it's in their lives having to do with their bodies. And that's what we just read. Your body is a battlefield having to do with whether holiness is going to reign in it or whether sin is going to reign in it. It's in your body. It's in your life. I mean, you can't escape it. It's there. All right? What else? Well, it's of a Christian's manner of life, holiness. We're talking about Christians. We're not talking about worldly people that are unsaved, the unsaved and the wicked that are in darkness and haters of God and could care less about God. We're talking about Christians. It's in their life. It's in their life of their bodies. It has to do with your body. It has to do with your manner of life, the way you live. Listen to what 1 Peter says. 1 Peter says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, your manner of life, the way you live. And when the Bible says conversation, sometimes it's talking about two people talking to each other, but a lot of the times it's talking about your manner of life, the way you live, the way you conduct yourself. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. It's in their life. It's not only in a Christian's calling, but it's in a Christian's life. It's in their life having to do with their bodies. It's in their life having to do with the way that they live and the manner of life that they live. The way that you live your life. What else? Well, it has to do with the fruitfulness. The fruitfulness of your life. John chapter 15, verse 3 through 5. Listen to this. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except ye abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Now, that's talking to Christians, people that are already saved, and you're not going to become unsaved. This is talking about using your body and being holy and bringing forth spiritual fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. That's what we're doing right now. Abide in me. In other words, don't run off and let your flesh run stupid and ignorant and crazy and go back into the world and misbehave and use your body for wicked things and stuff like that. Change the manner of holiness in your life that you're living and start just letting everything go crazy and everything and using your body for wicked things rather than holy things. You want to bear fruit. You want to bear fruit. Sanctification, holiness of Christians. It's in their calling. It's in their lives. How's it in their lives? Well, of their bodies, of the way that they live, their manner of life, and of our fruitfulness. We are here to bring forth fruit. You're saved. You're on your way to heaven. Now we need to do something for the Lord. Remember we was talking about, on our last study, when you've done all that you can do, say, we are unprofitable servants. We've done that which is our duty to do. Isn't it our duty, since God has saved us and we got every single thing to look forward to from this point on, no matter what happens in your body, you get sick or you die or whatever happens, when you leave that body or either the Lord Jesus Christ comes, things are done as far as the things that you have to put up with in this world right now. It's finished. It's over. You go to be with the Lord, or the Lord snatches us out of here, and we are changed in the twinkling of an eye. Now, you are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Abide in me. Don't run off. And I in you. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But the Lord's not going to force you to do anything. You want to use that body and go drunk and hang out at the bars and shoot it full of dope and fornicate with it and look at all the things and just live like a bunch of a pile of dung out there and stink and everything else. And go ahead. God's not going to leave you, but He's not going to participate in it. He's going to destroy you. He's going to kill your body, take you home. As the branch cannot bear fruit, now when it comes to a Christian wanting to live for the Lord and living holy and yielding to the Lord and being obedient, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, you must live holy to bear holy spiritual fruit. You must live a spiritual life. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, Jesus said. You can fulfill the lust of the flesh if you want to, and if you choose to, but walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Spirit has to be involved in it. You have to be spiritual. You have to live a conversation or a manner of life and use your body for spiritual things, and you will bear spiritual fruit. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. You say, well, Brother TV, I just don't see the fruit that I'm bearing. You're bearing fruit. If you're living a spiritual life, you're bearing fruit. You might not see it until you get to heaven. If somebody walk up to you and say, you remember when you used to pray? You remember when you used to do this? You remember when you used to do it? But just living a spiritual life and being holy and living in holiness, like the Lord says, you're bearing fruit because you're abiding in Christ. And the Lord said, you will bear fruit. He said, he that abideth in me, listen to this, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. We honor the Lord in our lives. We honor his word, just like you're doing right now. You're going to bring forth fruit. And you're going to be glad you did when you get to glory. And when you get in that front of that judgment seat of Christ, you ain't going to be ashamed one bit about people testifying about being saved because of the way that you walked in your calling. The way you lived in your life and in your calling when you were born again, the way you conducted yourself and the way you used your body the way you lived your life, you're going to bear fruit. You're going to bear fruit. All right, what else? Well, sanctification and the holiness of Christian it's in a Christian's calling. It is in their lives, and there are reasons for it. There are reasons for it. There are reasons for Christians to be holy. Why? Well, let's go over a few of them. First of all, because of God's holiness. I mean, when you was living in the flesh and you were not born again, who'd you walk like? You walk like your God, who is the God of this world, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Yeah. You walk like the devil, and you behave like him. Reasons for it is because of God's holiness. Our God is holy. So it would be natural for us to want to be holy and to strive to be holy. Don't let nobody, none of them knuckleheads out there tell you that your efforts of trying to be holy is hypocritical. It is scriptural. The Bible teaches us to strive to be holy. We've been reading it for 7 lessons now. The Bible gives you permission and commands you to be holy and to be godly and to be sanctified. Don't listen to those knuckleheads. They don't know what they're talking about. It's a bunch of nonsense. They're ashamed because they're not doing it. And they should be. Reasons for it, because God is holy. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15, 16. It says, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." It don't get any plainer than that, brothers and sisters. A reason for holiness in Christians is because God is holy. What else? Well, because of God's mercies. We should be holy. Christians should be holy and sanctified because of God's mercies. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. The Bible says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren," talking to saved people, "brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." You just take that body that you got, no matter whether it's, no matter because it is still evil and because it's wicked, and you just hold it up before the Lord and say, "Here it is, Lord, use it like you want to." And then back the Lord up and make that body do what the Lord wants it to do. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God," God, "thank you for being so kind to me and saving me and helping me. And no matter how miserable it is to live in this stinking body, I hate this sinful body, and I hate this world and the sin that's in it, and I hate and despise evil and sin. I don't want to be a sinner anymore." No matter what all that goes on, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You know what a sacrifice is, don't you? That means it's something that you do in spite of what you might want to do. In other words, you sacrifice yourself. Bodies of living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that's what we're doing right now, is helping one another out by being around God's Word, hearing it preached, hearing it taught, hearing it explained and expounded upon, and reasons for it. Reasons for what? Reasons for holiness of Christians, sanctification. The reasons for it. Because of God's holiness. Because of God's mercies. What else? Well, because of Christ's love. As soon as you take your very first look in live, it being live, in other words, you're not looking through the God's Word, you're not looking through your imagination, you're not looking through what you would think the Lord looked like. But when you take your very first look at the Son of God, and you lock eyes with Him, it's going to all be worth it. It's going to all be worth it, because that same Lord that you heard about when you got saved, there He is. The one that you believed in, the one that you honored, the one that you walked by faith for, the one that you suffered for, the one that you presented your body and sacrificed, and you kept yourself holy and acceptable unto God, and you thought it your reasonable service, and you disciplined yourself as a Christian and the holiness in your life, and you honored the Lord instead of honoring this world and honoring the sin in your body. And the evilness, the wickedness in your body, and instead of letting your body have its way, and you lock eyes on Him, it's going to be all worth it, brothers and sisters, every bit of it, every bit of it, because of Christ's love. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, listen to this, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that He died for all, that they which live should not live henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. Don't get no plainer than that, does it? If Christ loved us, we need to love Him back. And we do that by presenting ourselves a living sacrifice, by being holy, by being sanctified, willingly. Willingly sanctified the holiness of Christians. Reasons for it? Because God's holiness, because of God's mercies, and because of the Lord Jesus Christ's love. What else? Well, because of the end of the world. Because of the end of the world. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10 through 12 says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens shall be on fire, the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. That's what's coming, folks. No matter what you see around you and all this theatrical portraying of man's goodness and how prosperity is really coming about because of man's wisdom and his education and his scientific discoveries and all this hogwash poppycock that's going on out there, God's going to burn it and dissolve it. And that's coming. And we're not going to be here for it. And that's one thankful thing that we ought to have right in front of our minds and in our hearts, is that we're not going to be part of that mess. God's going to burn it, and we're going to be out of it before that. We're not going to have any part of that. God's going to burn it, and we're going to be behind him. But the world's in. Knowing what's going to happen, David said one time that he was so mad at his enemies and he wanted God to destroy them and, Lord, take care of my enemies and take up for me, Lord, and everything else. And then he stopped for a minute and he said, but then I remembered their end. And you know, I get mad at the enemy sometimes. I get mad at the enemy. I get mad at people that hate God. I get mad at people that mistreat me because of me standing and walking the way that I know the Lord wants me to walk and discipline. I mean, you should too. When you walk holy, you're going to get persecuted for it. When you walk like the Lord and you behave like the Lord, you're going to get it from the world. You're going to get it from other Christians that are not walking right, and they despise you because of it. Yeah, but you know what? Then I remember their end. Instead of praying for your enemies and the ones that hurt you and the ones, I mean, they might have hurt you physically. They might have done something to you, and they deserve it. Man, they deserve it. Get them, Lord. And they deserve it. And it would be just and right for God to pay them back for you. And he does that sometimes, don't you think? God doesn't. God gets pleasure in paying them back that trouble you, the Bible says. But when it comes down to us wishing their destruction and things like that, things get kind of a little difficult in there in that heart after a little while when you start finding out and reading the scriptures about what's going to happen to them and what God has done for you. And you have difficulty doing all that, and then you end up praying for them. You know, stuff like that. Which is beautiful, and not the way your flesh would go about it. Only your spirit would do things like that, not your flesh. Your flesh wants vengeance, man. You know? But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. That's Brother Peter. Brother Peter saying that thing, man. He was the one that would be the first one to draw the sword. You think you're going to get my Lord? And he'd pull that sword out and say, come get him. I love Peter, man. Old Peter, boy, he would fight for the Lord anytime. But he learned a valuable, valuable lesson, and the Lord taught him through his compassion. But Peter still writes about the end day coming and what their end is. What are we talking about? We're talking about a Christian's holiness, sanctification of Christians. It's in their calling. It's in your lives. And the reasons for it? Because of God's holiness, because of God's mercies, because of Christ's love, because of the world's end. And what else? Well, finally, or lastly, because of one's inheritance. This is not all for nothing. I mean, even if the Lord said that's, and he does say that, is to say it's the least that we can do, which is true, that's not the Lord's plan. The Lord's plan is not to say, you know, okay, well, you did good, you stayed godly, you stayed holy, and all this. The Lord's going to reward you. He's got an inheritance for you. Because you believed on Christ and you chose the Lord and you love the Lord and you're allowing him to use your body and you're behaving yourself and you're not shaming him out here running around the world acting stupid and everything else. The Lord's going to reward you. You have an inheritance coming. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1 through 8, listen to this. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be named once among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, nor an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, and there's a lot of them out there. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You see that thing? Isn't that neat? Isn't that neat? Well, let's talk about one more thing having to do with sanctification and the holiness of Christians. What have we been over so far? It's in your calling. It's in your lives. There are reasons for it. And let's see God's means of it. How's it come about, this holiness of Christians? God's means of holiness in Christians. Well, what do you mean? Well, by the Word of God, just like what you're doing right now. You're not going to, if you wasn't here listening to this and participating in this, and you decided to be out in the world and forget God and didn't open your Bible and didn't have anything spiritual going on in your life, you would not be thinking, it'd be pretty quick, you would not be thinking spiritually at all. You'd have a filthy, nasty, corrupt mind and be thinking like the world and reasoning like the world and understanding like the world. I mean, by God's Word, holiness of Christians comes by means of God's Word. John 15:3. Listen what it says. Now ye are clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. That's why it's so very important for you not to get in them stupid arguments about, well, what is God's Word? You know what God's Word is. He gave it to you when He saved you. Believe it. Hang on to it. Don't let anybody ever take it from you, and don't change it. If God wants to change it, that's His business. But He doesn't. He's given it to us. It's pure. Okay? Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. God's means of holiness in Christians is by His word. What else? Well, by chastisement. By chastisement. That's not a very good... I don't want none of that. I don't want no more part of that. Do you? You ever been whipped by the Lord? Hebrews chapter 12, listen to this. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth. It ain't just a little whooping. Like all these liberals and all these, don't hurt the kiddies. Don't whip them. God says, scourge them. The Lord said, the blueness of a wound cleanseth the soul. What are you going to do with that one, buddy? For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Are you a son of God? You're going to get a whooping. But you're going to get a whooping from somebody that loves you and somebody that's doing it for your benefit. And if you're getting a whooping, the best thing to do is yield to it and draw nearer to the Lord and figure out what it's all about and confess it and get that thing right and change whatever needs to be changed. That's it. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. Now, there's a very doctrinal, big doctrinal thing right there you need to learn. God dealeth with you as with sons, not with as with unsaved people. Big difference in that. If God's dealing with wicked people that are unsaved, that don't want no part of Him, and they hate Him and cuss Him and all this, that, and the other, it's a whole different kind of scenario than it is Him dealing with family. God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers, get this, that we might be partakers of His holiness. You say, there it is. Yep, there it is. There it is. God's means of making Christians holy, by the Word of God and by chastisement. And what else? Well, by His grace. By His grace. Grace is only something that God could have come up with. Man would have, if man was the only thing in existence, grace would never exist. There's no such thing as grace among men unless God is involved. When the Lord is involved, man is capable of exercising grace like God. Grace is indeed an attribute of the Lord, passed down to man and taught to man. Because man is not a graceful being. He does not have grace without the Lord. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 2:13. Listen to this. For by the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Man, I don't know about you, but I need to hear these things. I need to hear what God's Word says. I need to read these scriptures. I need to know what God's mind is, because, man, when you get up there and start fooling with the world more than about a day, you come in here and you're just so stinking full of, the world fills you, the world can pour enough goo in you in one day that it'd take a whole Bible class to purge it out, doesn't it? I mean, it's real. It is real. It'll swallow you up and eat you and make you one of the filthiest, nastiest, suicidal, mental disturbed. This world, they wonder how come, man, that's big business, mental stuff now. And all that is filthy, ungodly living. And the fruit of it. But what are we talking about? We're talking about sanctification. Sanctification. Let's go over what we've talked about today. Sanctification, talking about particularly the holiness of Christians. It's in your calling. How? Well, you are elected unto holiness. You are called unto holiness. You're created in holiness and possessed by holiness. It's in your lives. It's in your life of your body. Your body is involved in it. Your manner of life, the way you live, is involved in it. And your fruitfulness, you bearing fruit for the Lord or bearing fruit for spiritual things and spiritual reasons and spiritual future, eternity, bringing people with you into eternity that have everlasting life, winning souls to the Lord, encouraging people to do right and to live godly and to honor the Lord in their life, brings forth nothing but good fruit. I mean, if you just told people to live for God and honor the Lord, if people, even an unsaved man has got enough sense that, I mean, Laban in the scriptures, even he was told, even Jacob, I think it was Jacob that told Laban, he said, I know God's blessed you just because of me being here. And he was. But Laban didn't care nothing about it but just about his money and his and being honored and respected and all this business. But Jacob told him, God's blessed you since I've been around here and been honoring the Lord. But even an unsaved man knows that if he honors the Lord just for superficial reasons, just for money and just for prosperity and things like that, God will honor him. For honoring him, God honors those that honor him. But we're talking about Christians and holiness and having a heavenly father and family, spiritual family. Not this so-called family down here on earth that runs amok in this, puts their kids in garbage cans and holds them by their ankles and busts their head up against dumpsters and stuff. Yeah, a real family, man. Yeah. Not any of that nonsense. Holiness of Christians. Well, reasons for it. Because of God's holiness. Because of God's mercies. Because of Christ's love. Because of the world's end. And because of one's inheritance. And then finally, or lastly, God's means of Christian holiness, holiness in Christians, by the Word of God. You keep on being around God's Word no matter where you're at. If it's not here, stay in God's Word somewhere else. Get fed by God's Word and hear God's Word preached, taught, or however you got to do it. But be in God's Word all the time for the rest of your life. By the Word of God, by chastisement, and by God's grace. And by God's grace. Amen. All right. Well, sanctification, the holiness of Christians. Let me give you the verses for today's scripture, or scriptures for today's study. Today's study. You ready? Romans chapter 8, verse 29. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 7. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 through 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Romans chapter 6, verse 13 through 19. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14 through 16. John chapter 15, verse 3 through 5. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 15 and 16. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 through 12. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 through 8. John 17:17. John 15:3. Hebrews 12:6-10. And the last one for today is Titus 2:11-13. We've talked about today's sanctification and the holiness of Christians. Very important in our sanctification. Amen. That's good stuff, isn't it? That's good stuff. Praise the Lord for allowing us to have the liberty to come together and to be around His Word. However you're hearing this and wherever you're hearing this and however you're joining in with us, I admire you and I respect you for honoring our Lord. The Lord bless you and protect you, and you and rest in the Lord. Great peace have they that love thy law. I love you with Christ's love. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I'll talk to you on the next one, okay? Lord willing, I'll talk to you on the next one. Bye-bye.